Hey y'all. I'd like to explain myself why I haven't released an episode for a couple of months. I haven't posted since November. It's because I couldn't manage my school, work, and podcasting. I could not manage those at all. But right now I can feel that I can manage, and I really love doing podcasting and I miss it. I was thinking to myself, damn, I want to do my podcast. Like, I don't want to leave it there. I know I have like at least two people want me to release an episode, or probably one audience, one of my fans. I don't call yourself fans, what the fuck. But yeah, and plus I went to Guatemala for a month. I came back on the December 22nd. So I've been in States for a month now. A month was 2 or 3 weeks, something like that. But I feel like I can do it right now. And hoping that I can release one episode each week. And this episode, I'm recording on the 9th. And it's going to be released on the 14th. Like, I'm ready to do this. And I want to do this for full time. So, if you'd like to help me, give me a rate. A review about my episode. Please and thank you. And let's go right into this episode. Shayla LaBeouf was born on June 11th, 1986, and he's from Los Angeles, California. His parents are Jeffrey Craig LaBeouf and Shayna. His childhood's very sad and traumatic for a kid. His dad, Jeffrey, was a Vietnam War veteran and a clown. He had a lot of mental health problems, having PTSD from the military, and that led to his drug and alcohol problems. They were on the low income side. Since Jeffrey had different jobs he became a drug dealer just to make some cash. He was involved of hijacking cars and got arrested in 1981 and sentenced for 3 years of attempted rape and pled guilty. And I believe that he witnessed this rape because it was his own mother. That's what I read from the articles, but I'm not sure it's true. And then he was accused of sexual harassment on the set of Even Stevens. As well, he's a registered sex offender. Now his mother was a former dancer and then turned to a jewelry owner. Both got a divorce when Shaya was five years old. Overall, he had good terms with the parents and financially supports them. At age 10, he started to perform stand-up just to get away from his house. He couldn't stand being there, just hearing their parents fighting. Around 2000, his acting career was getting roles after roles, honestly. He got the role of Even Stevens, and that was a comedy series on Disney Channel, and it had 3 seasons, and he was the lead of the show. He even got a Daytime Emmy Award. And then after that, he was becoming the biggest actor. He was even in the movie A Transformer with Megan Fox, and they dated before. Now, let's talk about his past. He's known about having a really bad past, and we're going to deep dive about it and I think most of y'all probably know some of them. I didn't know when I was researching about him. All right. In 2000, he was arrested at Walgreens Pharmacy in Chicago. He was 21 at the time. He was arrested at 2:30 a.m. in Chicago Walgreens, and he refused to leave the store following several requests by a security guard. And he was drunk at the time. And he was charged with criminal trespassing misdemeanor, but the store dropped the charges. And then he was arrested during a performance at Cabaret, C-A-B-R-A-R-E-T, in 2014. One of the actor's several arrests came in 2014 in New York City, infamous Studio 54, where he was arrested after disrupting a performance of Sam Mendes. He was smoking inside the theater and stood up during the first act of the show and shouted at the actors. The police were notified. LaBeouf was handcuffed and escorted out of the theater during the intermission. And then he appeared at Jimmy Kimmel Live in 2014, and he explained himself of his arrest, and he said he had just been in Ireland, had drunk a lot of whiskey. He noted that he continued drinking after landing back in the United States. And he kept drinking at the show. In 2015, LaBeouf starred in Sia Elastic Heart music video, which some critics having pedophilia undertones. And I didn't know about this, but I'm seeing a picture of him naked. And I think he had like spandex, but it's color of his skin tone, as well as Maddie Ziegler. So LaBeouf and Sia collab on a music video for his song Elastic Heart in 2015. And he both started, as well as Maddie Ziegler, who was 12 years old at the time, as two near naked dancers. The video drew strong reaction from some, with several people saying it had pedophilia undertones, although others defend the video. Sia addressed about the drama herself in several tweets, writing, "I'm anticipating some, pedo." All I can say is Maddie and she are the two only actors I felt could play these two morning. And Sia did apologize, however, to anyone who was triggered by the video. And the singer wrote, "My intention was create some emotion content, not to upset anybody. And in 2016, he slapped a student in the face in the name of art. It's not really that bad. It's on YouTube. Y'all can look. And then also in 2016, he dissed Soulja Boy in the rap, and the rapper lashed out at him. Okay, that's... And then he was arrested and charged with assault at an anti-Trump protest in 2017. And in 2017, LaBeouf had an outburst on California bowling alley after a bartender refused to serve him French fries. Later in 2015, LaBeouf was involved in another public incident at a bowling alley in California. A very drunk LaBeouf asked a bartender for French fries, but he refused him. And then there's a video of him shouting and cursing the bartender, claims that he was hit on the head with a bottle. And then he said, "You, the F word, racist bitch." I don't know why I couldn't say the F word. And then the security guard escorted LaBeouf out of the bowling alley. In 2017, LaBeouf was arrested in Georgia and went on a racist trade against a black police officer. In 2017, it proved to be even more difficult for LaBeouf. He was arrested in July, and this time a charge for being drunk, disorderly conduct, obstruction. LaBeouf approached a bystander and a police officer around 4 a.m. in Georgia and asked for a cigarette. After he was refused one, LaBeouf grew upset and verbal abuse, and he was asked to leave the area, but he refused and continued to use profanity. I like to apologize. This episode is really bad. I thought it would be pretty good, but profanities and verbal abuse language towards the officer. When the officer attempted to place LaBeouf under arrest, LaBeouf ran to a nearby hotel. And then he was arrested, and there's a body cam footage and obtained by TMZ. How does TMZ get the freaking video? This is what he said. "You got a president who doesn't give a about you, and you're stuck at police force that doesn't give a in you," he said to the officer. "So you want to arrest what? White people who give a..." The footage and then show the actor at the police station after his arrest. LaBeouf said to the officers, "You're going to hell. Straight to hell, bro." And then he singled out one particular cop and said, "You especially, Devin." And a white officer asked LaBeouf why he said Devin's, why Devin? And then LaBeouf replied, "Because he's a black man." Later, he apologized to his racist remarks and his behavior on a statement. And he wrote on Twitter, "I'm deeply ashamed for my behavior and make no excuse for it. I don't know if these statements are too frequent or not shared often enough, but I'm certain that my action warrant a very sincere apology to the arresting officers, and I'm grateful for their restraint. He continued, my outright disrespect for authority is problematic to say the least, and complete destruction to say the worst. It's a new low, a low I hope is the bottom. And the actor added, white privilege and desperation and disaster. It came from a place of self-centered delusion. It was me trying to dissolve myself of guilt for getting arrested. And in August 2020, LaBeouf was accused of wearing brown face in David Meyer movie, The Tax Collector. And then September 2020, LaBeouf was charged with misdemeanor, battery, and petty theft. LaBeouf became involved in physical altercation with a man named Tyler Humphrey, which ended with LaBeouf stealing Humphrey's hat and running away. Although the incident took place on June 12, the charges were filed on September 24th. LaBeouf has not been arrested for this charge. Reported that complaint request that an arrest warrant for LaBeouf is issued. And in December 2020, FKA Twigs filed a lawsuit against LaBeouf for sexual battery and assault. And we will get into that in this episode. And then singer Sia added that she has been hurt by LaBeouf too and calling him pathological liar. And that's pretty much it. Of his past, of his arrest. Now let's get into the sexual harassment and assault. I mean, sexual battery and assault of FKA Twigs. All right, we're getting into the lawsuit that FKA Twigs filed a lawsuit in 2020 for sexual battery and assault. And I might skip like some words, try and put it into like easier for me to say. So let's get it. Into it. Shiloh LaBeouf hurts women. He used them. He abused them. He is dangerous. For too long, Shiloh had sought to excuse his actions as for a free-thinking artist. Even though his history of violent behavior was well documented, many media have treated Shiloh as a harmless figure of fun, which help him and capable to him to abuse women over the years. There's nothing funny about the exploitation of battering of women. This action had been brought not for personal gain, but to set a record straight and to help ensure that no women must undergo the abuse that Shiloh inflicted on his prior romantic partners. The day in which Shiloh can mistreat and harm women in impunity are over. Talia Barrett, personal known as FKA Twigs, is an internationally successful singer, songwriter, and actor. Talia was involved in a relationship with him. shortly after they finished working on the motion picture Honey Boy. And Honey Boy, he was the star in it. He created it. It's basically about his life. And that's where I got mostly my information about his childhood, about his dad and his mom, and what his dad did. And I feel like I am going to watch it to know more about him, even though I should have watched it before, so I can get more facts about him and his childhood. After Shella had employed a charm offense on Talia, attacked it, she now knows he used on other women. Shella convinced her to move in with him. Shella was engaging in grooming, gradually gaining Talia trust and confidence with the intent of abusing her. What followed was a living nightmare for Talia. Over a course of a month, Shella engaged in continued stream of verbal and mental abuse toward Talia, belittling her, betraying her after the slightest insult by Shella. Shella isolated Talia from her friends and family, making it so her daily existence and routine revolved around him and only him. His verbal abuse escalated into physical abuse, during which Shella became increasingly violent towards Talia. On one terrible occasion around Valentine's Day in 2019, Shella forcibly slammed Talia against his car and strangled her after she was trying to escape from one of his manic episodes. In fact, Shella even admitted to another woman whom he was cheating on Talia with at that time that he had dragged Talia out of his car by her collar. Shella kept Talia in a constant state of fear by opening and storing live firearms throughout his own home, including his bedroom he shared with Talia. And finally, most dreadful, Shella knowingly transmitted a serious illness to Talia without ever informing her beforehand, and he has suffered from this dreadful madly. Talia has since learned that Shella infected other suspectedly women with his disease. Simply put, Shella riskily discard for his health and safety for his partners make him dangerous to women everywhere. Although Talia has suffered greatly and will bear the scars of Shay abuse for the rest of her days, she will not be labeled a victim. Instead, Talia triumphs over Shella abuse and stands ready to hold accountable for his actions. So, when they first met each other, it was on the film and the motion picture Honey Boy in the early summer of 2018, a film which both had lead roles. When shooting on a picture route later that year, the two beginning a romantic relationship. Talia's vulnerable sensitive state at that time, she had recently ended a 4-year engagement, recovering from having a painful tumor removed from her uterus. Within a week or two of dating, Shella dramatically professed his love for Talia. During the first few months of the relationship, Shella restrained himself to over-the-top display of affection, eventually winning Talia's trust. Once Shella had gained Talia's confidence, her living nightmare began. Beginning in and around October 2018, Shella convinced Talia to go live with him at his Los Angeles home. Once Talia had moved in, LaBeouf had regularly frequently rage and jealousy towards Talia. On a continual basis, he aggressively accused of dwelling on her former fiance, well-known actor Robert Pattinson, and also accused Talia of rushing him into a relationship. Talia will stay up all night while he verbal berated her for hours on end about her supposed lack of taste. Charlotte would take something as innocent as Talia kissing another man on the cheek in a music video or being polite to a waiter as nothing less than betrayal and assault on his manhood and existence threat to their relationship. Charlotte would literally count the kisses Talia would give him in a given day, betray her if she fell short of a target number. He would verbal assault Talia if he placed his hand on her lap and she failed to immediately to do the same thing to place her hand on top of his. He would end the relationship on the slightest image grievance and then almost immediately resurface and desperately to resume it. Shiloh suffered recurring periods of delusion. He armed himself with firearms and belief of gang members were going to break down his door at any moment, going so far as to sleep with these guns. Talia would be trapped in their shared bed for hours at a time without the ability even to get up to go to the bathroom for fear she would be shot by Shia. Should he wake up suddenly, open her, return to bed. Sorry, I paused for a moment because I was really shocked about what I read. Shiloh's mental and verbal harassment and mistreatment of Talia eventually turned into physical violence. Shiloh committed physical attacks against Talia on multiple occasions, each resulting in personal injuries to Talia, not least which was Shia knowing transmission of a serious disease which has forever altered the course of her life. While Talia was living with Shia in his Los Angeles home, she remained in constant fear due to the threatened presence of loaded firearms. Shia's home. Beginning on November 18, 2018, Shia insisted on keeping his front door unlocked and sleeping with a loaded rifle at their bedside. Shia demanded Talia join him while he watched documentaries about murdered women before bed and refused to allow Talia to sleep with any clothing on. In these moments, Talia will often text friends in the middle of the night to devise a planned escape of Shia's home. Simply, when Shia was filming the movie The Tax Collector, in which he played a gangster and took on the role in real life, remember of The Tax Collector, and a lot of people were saying that he had a brown face. You know, okay. During one incident, while Talia was driving with him, Shia pulled a pistol from a compartment in his car, which he boasted to Talia was a legal possession in California. On another occasion, Shia attempted to scar Talia by warning her that he put one of his firearms on her set, threatening others and bragging to Talia that he enjoyed getting their attention. Talia made the horrible boost to Talia that in order to get into character for his role in Tax Collector, he would drive around neighborhoods in Los Angeles and shoot stray dogs. Shia claimed he killed these dogs because he wanted to know what it feels like to take a life so he could get into the mindset of a killer, like his role in the movie. Shia knew that Talia has a great love of dogs and that she is very close to her own dog. Shia, a mission to such wanted animal cruelty profoundly disturbed and terrified Talia. To celebrate their Valentine's Day holiday in February 2019, Shia drove Talia to a hotel spa for a romantic evening. However, instead of a night of romance, Talia was subject to physical abuse from Shia. After she had gone to bed, Talia woke to Shia towering over her and violently squeezing her body and arms against her will. Shia then grabs his hand around Talia's neck and begins strangling her while whispering, "If you don't stop, you're going to lose me." Talia was horrified. She could not move and lay there frozen while Shia continued to harm her. Oh my god. The following morning, outside of their hotel, Shia threw Talia to the ground as they drove back to Shia's house. Shia drove him crazy, removing his seatbelt and threatening to crash the car unless Talia professed his love to him. Talia was horrified by Shia's action and feared for her life. Talia eventually stopped at a gas station. Talia desperately attempted to escape from him. However, after Talia tried to remove herself and her belongings from the car, Shia violently attacked Talia while in the gas station parking lot. He threw Talia against the car and intended to strangle her violently while screaming in her face. Shia and then forced Talia back into his car. Later, when he confronted about this incident by his female friend on September 29th, 2019, Shia did not deny that he used violence on Talia. Indeed, Shia admitted to a text message that I do remember removing her from the car in the desert. Shia stated that he removed Talia by her arms. In response, Shia's friend confronted him with a text message stating, "Shia, you did actually admit it to me that incident when you had her by the collar and were pushing her against the car while she sobbed. And while three men witnessed did nothing at the gas station was true." Shortly after Valentine's Day incident on February 25th, 2019, Talia reached out for help by texting close friend and writing, "This is difficult to say, but I'm sure you know I have been in an abusive relationship and that he has isolated me and worse than you could imagine." And Talia also sought help for a professional therapist, writing to him on February 24th, "I just left an emotional, physical, and sexual abuse relationship. I had one day out, and I'm very confused and overwhelmed. I'm writing this email because I'm hoping that seeking professional help, I can stay out of it and carrying on my life." Talia is continuing to seek counseling from therapists as she continued to suffer ongoing mental trauma and distress from Shia's relentless abuse. Talia began slowly distance herself from Shia and his violence. She began this process by planning escape from Shia when the opportunity arose. However, Shia basically trying to control her. And watching her, Talia made the prospect of escape both difficult and dangerous. And around March 2019, Talia attempted to escape from Shia's abuse. One day, she began packing her bags and belongings, intending to leave Los Angeles and Shia. However, while Talia was doing so, Shia showed up unannounced at a rental home where she was staying. The entire incident was witnessed by Talia's housekeeper, who was helping her pack at the time. In her own words, the housekeeper had private sworn testimony that Shia yelled at Talia and that she had to come with him. Talia hesitated and remained where she was in the room when Talia refused to go with Shia. Shia appeared to grow angrier and moved toward Talia. Shia then violently grabbed Talia and lifted her off the ground. Talia's housekeeper further relates that after Shia had lifted Talia into the air, he carried her into a separate room. "I then heard the door to his room locked from the inside. I tried the door and confirmed that it was locked." Shia continued to scream at Talia. He yelled so loudly that I could hear from the outside of the room. I waited in the room while this was occurred. Shia kept yelling at Talia for a long time. Eventually, I observed Shiloh open the door and exit the room where he had been keeping Talia. As he left the room, Shiloh first appeared to notice me watching him. Shiloh stared at me, but did not say anything. Finally, Talia's housekeeper has testified that I quickly went to Talia's side to see how she's doing. I observed that Talia was in a traumatic state. She appeared to have been crying, and her voice was very weak. I asked Talia if Shiloh had taken her into the room and kept her against her will. Talia confirmed that Shiloh had been indeed done so. Unfortunately, Shiloh soon returned, dashing Talia plan to escape from him. Beginning in around March 2019, Talia began experience unusual painful physical system. Shortly after Talia confronted Shiloh about her she was experiencing something of her body. He admitted that he suffered from a sexual transmitted disease, which had been diagnosed years earlier. Shiloh admitted that he had never told Talia about his condition before, even though they had been sexually intimate for many months. Further, Shiloh admitted that he had experienced a flare-up of his disease in December 2019. Shiloh continued to engage in a sexual relation with Talia, further exposing her to his disease. Was shocked and horrified by this, Talia consulted a physician who performed blood work and confirmed that Talia had been affected with Shiloh's disease. Talia later learned that she was not the first person that Shiloh had been transmitted his disease to. Talia discovered that at least one other woman that Shiloh has been in a relationship has been contracted the disease from him. And he has engaged in similar attempts to hide his condition from that person while engaging in sexual relations. Despite his endless mistreatment of Talia, Shiloh has succeeded in isolating her from her friends, family, others that could help from leaving the toxic relationship. Talia had allowed him to convince her that he was the victim, that he genuinely loved her, and that he wanted to repair the relationship. For the next few months, Talia engaged in multiple therapy sessions with Shiloh and attempted to salvage the relationship. However, Shiloh's unpredictable and violent behavior did not change. Eventually, after Talia refused his endless stream of calls and text messages, and Shiloh will just end his relationship with Talia via text message. Talia later learned that Shiloh has been cheating with another woman during his time. Finally, free from Shiloh, Talia began a long and difficult process from healing from his abuse. Alright, this is one of victims of Shiloh, and her name Carolyn Foam. So this is way back. They dated around like 2012, something like that. So in February 2012, Shiloh traveled with, I keep forgetting her name, Carolyn, to New York City for Fashion Week. During their flight east and paid by Carolyn, Shiloh got angry for wearing expensive sunglasses and made fun of her. causing her to burst in tears in front of other passengers on the airplane. He disappeared the moment he deplaned at JFK Airport. Carolyn traveled to their hotel alone and could not find Shyla and went to bed. Shyla eventually showed up to the hotel room and extremely drunk, waking Carolyn by banging loudly on the door. Carolyn led Shyla into the room while, after babbling coherently and promoted, passed out on the couch face up in fear that Shyla might choke on his own vomit in that position, and Carolyn had help carrying him into a shower where she sat him up straight and turned on the water. Shyla continued to sit in this position, mumbling to himself and believing Shyla was no longer in danger. Carolyn returned to bed, and later that night, Carolyn woke to Shyla on top of her, drunk, naked, wet, and screaming. He held her down by her arms, causing instant pain and leaving multiple bruises, then head-bedded her violently, causing her bleed on the hotel bed. Another experience that she had in early 2011, Coraline kept Shyla from driving home because of how drunk he was. They hailed a taxi on the ride to Sherman Oaks. Shyla repeatedly betrayed and verbal assaulted Carolyn in front of the driver and repeatedly whispered to Carolyn, "You know I'm going to kill you." Once home, he vomited in the hallway. The next morning, Shyla asked Carolyn about the vomit in the hallway, claiming he had blacked out and did not remember anything from the prior evening. Carolyn had barely chosen to ally with Talia against Shyla or to protect women from ever again having to endure Shyla abuse. And this is from his current girlfriend that she has right now. In 2015, the media widely reported on the incident between Shyla and his then girlfriend Maya Goth. While in Germany, Shyla vicious verbal assault on Maya was captured on video by passengers. Among other things, Shyla told Maya, "I don't want to touch you. I don't want to be aggressive. This kind of shit that makes me a person abusive." Shyla blames Maya for pushing him. When he eventually leaves the scene, Shyla was caught saying, "If I had stayed in there, I would have killed her." Recently, as September 24, 2020, Shyla was charged by Los Angeles City Attorney with misdemeanor battery, theft for alleged using physical violence to steal a man's hat. This is pretty much it for this episode. He's basically back with his ex, Maya Goth. They dated or married 2016 through 2018, and they're expecting their first child. So that's pretty wild that she stayed with him. He's a fucking crazy person. I'm shocked what I read on the case file. If you want to read the case file, see it for yourself, in all the articles that I use to use this episode, I'll link them below. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Give me a rate, that will help me so much, and listen to my other episodes that I made. And this episode will be my 10th, so you can hear the other 9 episodes. So thank you and see y'all next week.